We're back with All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz.
Obviously, there are some differences between us in the precise formulations and language, and that's going to happen between friends.
While Israel is prepared to make generous compromises for peace, it cannot go back to the 1967 lines, because these lines are indefensible.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaking alongside President Obama in the Oval Office yesterday. James Fallows of The Atlantic is here in the studio with me for more on that encounter and some of the other stories we're following. Jim, nice to see you this Saturday.
Nice to see you, Guy.
Let's begin with that meeting and with President Obama's overall vision for achieving a two-state solution. Obviously, the president's reference on Thursday to the 1967 lines as a starting point for negotiations did not please Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Yes, and there was a lot of controversy for a few hours about whether or not this represented a big shift in U.S. policy because it had not been included in some of the early previews of the speech. But the reality is, through all the presidencies since at least the time of Jimmy Carter, this has been essentially the U.S. position.
Not always stated, but it
not always stated, but implicit in all the negotiating logic, that it would be essentially the 1967 borders with, as President Obama was careful to say, certain swaps of territory on the West Bank and in East Jerusalem. So this is essentially a clearer statement of what the U.S. has stood for a long time.
It seemed like for a while President Obama almost avoided, I mean, he took this conflict on at the beginning with a call for a freeze to settlements, but then he kind of dropped it for a while. He's now, I guess, made the calculation that he's just going to dive into it and let the chips fall where they may?
This has been a fascinating cycle in almost every presidency since, again, the time of Jimmy Carter, where, disclosure, I worked for Jimmy Carter back then, where the presidents first think with the ebullience of their early time in office that they can solve this difficult problem.
Right.
Then they get discouraged. And then by the time they've been around for a couple of years, they think they have no alternative but to deal with it again because so many other consequences flow from its continuing lack of resolution.
But it, of course, is a risk.
Oh, of course. It's a political risk because there's a very, very careful path that American presidents have to take, being firm enough with Israel but not seeming to be anti-Israel. And I think the president did a careful job of that in his speech.
I should mention, Jim, that we'll be talking a lot more about this issue on the program tomorrow, but I want to move on to the drama unfolding in New York over what is likely to be a very embarrassing trial for the former IMF chief, Dominique Strauss-Kahn. The perception of his alleged crime and incarceration are viewed very differently here in the U.S. and in France.
Oh, it's certainly the case that in the U.S. press, I think there's a general assumption that despite the legal presumption of innocence, the board of the co-op where he was trying to move, didn't want to have him, et cetera, and we're treating this mainly as a window onto the previously underexplored plight of the hotel chambermaids. We're talking about how often this sort of thing happens, whether or not it happened with Mr. Strauss-Kahn. In France, this is being used as a sort of hideous spectacle of the perversion of American justice and its cruelty and the perp walk and all the rest. So it's seen very, very differently in the two countries.
Jim, let me ask you about John Huntsman, President Obama's former envoy to China, somebody you got to know when you were there. He is exploring the possibility of running for president. What kind of calculation is he making? Is he jumping into what appears to be a vacuum?
I think that John Huntsman is somebody who has had national ambitions, his friends say, for a long time. And you can imagine this going one way or the other as the field thins among the Republicans. Either he is the person for whom the timing turns out to be right, as it turned out to be right for Bill Clinton in 1992, despite the
and President Obama.
Yes, and President Obama, too. So that could happen. Or if it doesn't, it's usually the case, especially for Republicans, that a good loss, so to speak, sets you up well for the next round of the presidency. If you establish your name, if you're seen as a good campaigner, and that could be his logic, too.
He tees himself up for 2016. That's James Fallows from The Atlantic. He's with us most Saturdays for a look behind the headlines. Jim, thanks.
Thank you, Guy.